This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, look, there's a lot to digest. There's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to bitch about. There's a lot to be frustrated about. And most of it is a very familiar feeling for us here in Detroit. And it's frustrating to be here again. Not completely unpredictable, of course. The Lions lose at Oakland 31-24, dropped to 3-4-1. And I apologize because in the wake of that one, that was depressing, and you kind of do your own research and take your own notes and prepare. So if this is everybody's take under the sun, then I'm just repeating it, Gator. But the Daryl Bevel offense from the one under heavy scrutiny again. Bevel, the offensive coordinator, the play on 4th-and-1. Third string tight end being the apparently the primary on a play that decides the game. There's a lot more to the game than that, okay? And we will get to all of it, but this seems to be the flashpoint for discussion, is the play call from the one. And, you know, I think Bevel's work as offensive coordinator in Detroit has been met with mostly approval. We all have strengths and weaknesses. We all have things that our job we're good at and things that our job we stink at. And you try and improve where you're weakest. And maybe it doesn't come down to Bevel's offense from the one. It was the offensive play call in the Super Bowl with Marshawn Lynch in the backfield where he threw it from the one and had an interception, which won a Super Bowl for New England. And now it was a play call from the one on 4th down that is a play call that's coming under heavy scrutiny.
It is, and it should, and it's definitely all the talk because it was the last play of the game. The Lions had a chance to tie things up and go to overtime with basically no time left, and they missed that opportunity. The clock was ticking down. They didn't have a timeout. They had guys on the field ready to run a play, and it keeps ticking down to, 6-5 seconds, and then 8 seconds, and then the Raiders called timeout, and I thought, wow. The Raiders just called timeout? That's interesting.
That was genius because they got the Lions to get their two best players off the field.
Well, that's
smart
what was,
move, Gruden.
Said everybody else watching, like, what just happened? They just called timeout. Okay, great. Now let's call a perfect play. And then they take out. You literally, the camera shot shows Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay walking together towards the sideline. And my initial thought was, great, let's take the time, get the whole team over there so we're all on one page. I hope Stafford's over there, too, so they're all talking to the coach. No, that's not what happened. Those guys stayed on the sideline. Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones stayed on the sideline.
Gruden's playing chess. Patricia's playing checkers.
Well, what the hell was that?
This is from The Athletic about what happened at the end of the game. Now, they have 3rd down on the 14-yard line. And Stafford hit Logan Thomas over the middle down to the 1-yard line. Clock is ticking, 11, 10, 9, I think it was 8 where Oakland called the timeout. Lions hurried to the line hoping to catch the Raiders scrambling. They even had a play dialed up. And then here's the intriguing part. Albeit one that required a running back, something the Lions didn't have on the field at the time. To fill the gap, quote, was going to be a little gymnastic, Stafford said. But we would have gotten it done. So they had a play called that required a running back, and apparently there wasn't a running back on the field. So, I mean, this honestly feels like you go down into the tree and you cut, and you run to the bush and come back. I mean, is this what it was? We're just going to snap the ball and you guys go out? Everybody go deep? I mean,
it could have been just an absolute cluster. Had they done that, because you got people that they think they're going to run one play and then they're going to try to draw up another play as time's winding down, it could have been an absolute cluster.
I mean, honestly, when you have the wrong personnel on the field, you know what? You also have to line up in a legal formation, right?
Right. But you did have those guys on the field. You line up in the same formation you had in the previous play. And
yeah, but apparently the play they had called, they're supposed to be
running back. I understand that. I'm just saying.
So that means there was somebody on the field that when they called the play, there would have been one extra player at a position going, well, I don't belong in the field here.
Yeah, it's all strange. It's very strange, right?
How can I mean, if you're
if you call two plays, you're calling two plays.
You have to know.
You have to assume that
the personnel,
the same personnel's there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So why then? Whose fault is it that you call the second play and you've got all those guys around and there's the same guys on the field, but you don't have a running back and that's what you need for that last play? Who's at fault for that? The guy who calls the play, right?
And the guy who calls the play presumably is Daryl Bevel,
right? I mean, well, we had a play call, but we didn't have the running back. How would you have a play called ahead of time and your personnel's on the field?
You'd think you'd have to call the play with the personnel you have on the field, or there would have to be communication that if we complete it and it's short of the end zone.
You run out, you run in.
You're out, you're in. And this is happening like that because the clock is ticking. Look, the end of the game is under heavy scrutiny, and there was more, right? I mean, to be honest with you, the play, there is a play before that that just resonates, and I in some ways think it's worse than the last play. We'll get to that today at 10:18. But 2485-399-9797. I mean, Lions fans, we're with you. We understand this sucks. This is what we talked about late last week when I removed my planted flag, which I hate doing, Gator. I feel like the easiest thing to do is just keep moving your flag around. Here's what's going to happen. And by the end of the week, I was convinced the Lions were going to lose this game in a game that would ultimately be winnable. Was that a winnable game? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It was winnable multiple times over. The last play of the game comes under scrutiny. But before this is done, we're going to list six or seven other, absolute critical mistakes and plays that cost them this game. And we've been down this road so many times before. I don't even know what to say to the people because I feel terrible for them. I feel terrible for us. I feel terrible for some of the players. I actually do feel terrible for some of the players that played well. I think that the heavy scrutiny under which this coaching staff is going to come under is valid.
Kind of feel like at this point in the season, if there was a transfer portal in the NFL, the Lions might have several people in there.
2485-399-9797. I know, I got to tell you, Gator, I know I am getting wildly frustrated when I start breaking my own rules. And that is letting camera shots that cut to the coach bother me. Because I've been cognizant for years that a camera shot on the sideline of a coach, when you see a coach, you see him for 3 seconds. Directors will hold a shot generally for 3 seconds. And they spend 3 hours on the sidelines. And you see 3 seconds that bother you. And I know better. I know better than to judge a coaching staff and a regime on 3 seconds of camera shot. But I'm breaking my own rules because I get so damn frustrated watching this team. And yesterday with Patricia, it was standing there with his arms crossed when I feel like the game's falling apart. And I'm like, do something! You know?
Yell at the TV, did you?
I did. Mm.
Did it yell back?
No, it didn't.
All right, that's good.
But that's when I know that I've reached some sort of breaking point. And now I'm crossing over into a bad place. Then I know I'm not being fair, but I'm just that's how frustrating it was. The play that bothered me as much as the last play was the first down play. I get more upset when I see something that really my expectation is to make the play. My expectation is that this one is a play you should make 100 times out of 100. The first down play, after the pass interference and they had a first and goal from the 7 or 8, wherever it was, Stafford drops back to pass. The pocket breaks down. And Stafford did something that at the time, when I watched it in real time, I thought was wildly unusual. And that was from about the 13-yard line. Stafford tucked the ball. Mm-hmm. He tucked it. The line of scrimmage, I believe, was the 7. Was it
eight,
the 7
eight
or 8?
Line. Okay. First goal from the 8.
And about the 13, he tucks the ball. He's got a lot of space to work with. But when I saw it in real time, he tucked the ball. Now, you're not looking at the all 22. We're not in the stadium or the press box where you can see the whole field and see how much, you know, wide open green grass, acres of green grass right. he has in front of him. But so when he tucked it, I thought, wow, that's unusual. And then, of course, he came nowhere close to scoring.
Got 4 yards.
Okay.
And got drilled.
And when he tucked it, with plenty of time not to tuck it, to run with the ball, and which he usually does, Marvin Jones comes wide open right in front of his face in the middle of the field. Wide open.
At like what yard line?
The goal line.
Oh.
Marvin Jones comes wide open at the goal line. I've watched the play over and over and over again. And what I'm processing is it was so unusual for Stafford to tuck it that quickly that when he did, I thought, oh, he's going to score. But he didn't come anywhere close to scoring. And Marvin Jones was wide open over the middle on the goal line. And I was just like, when the game ended and I went back and watched that play, and watched it over and over and over again this morning, I found it so unusual that Stafford tucked the ball. And if he doesn't, I think they score a touchdown. I think they kind of score an easy touchdown.
So, you mean throwing it to Marvin Jones?
Yes.
It would have been unless he dropped the ball for unforeseen reason. He was having a great game. There's no way. That would have been a touchdown for sure. I think he tucked it because of two reasons. One, has he fumbled near the goal line this year?
Yes.
So once he committed to running the ball, he's like, I'm putting this ball away in my left arm so they can't, you know what I mean? It's away from the defender. And if I go down and he tackles me, I'm going to protect the ball. I will not fumble this ball down here because it's already happened to me before. And clearly he never saw Marvin Jones because otherwise, like you said, Doug, that's an easy touchdown. So once he committed to running it, that was it. And yeah, he wasn't scoring from the 15-yard line. I don't know. I think he just committed, I'll get as much as I can.
I'll get as much as I can, and we'll have three more shots at it, is probably what he's thinking. But that is a play that I think Stafford typically makes, and he didn't. And you might be right. It might have been a panic, I'm not going to fumble type of moment. But I that play frustrates the hell out of me because I expect Stafford to make it.
I don't recall seeing that open. I'll trust you on that. What it ended up doing, it cost the Lions a timeout because they had to use one of their two timeouts then. And that hurt. Actually, it was their third timeout. Their final timeout was used there. There's decisions that are made in split seconds. It's tough. He made the decision to tuck it and run and protect the football. He got drilled, gave the chance. The team had the ball at the 4-yard line and, you know, they have this opportunity.
He had a good game. I'm not like killing Stafford here, but I am looking at a play I expect him to make. Him to make that play.
I'll go to another play. And there are plenty of plays. And the worst, I think, is the fourth down call, by the way. But the play that bothers me is in the first half, Lions driving. They have the ball at the Oakland 20-yard line. First and 10 at the 20. And I'm afraid of what this call is going to spawn. But he throws a deep ball intended for Kenny Golladay in the end zone, and it gets picked off by Worley. Worley makes a fantastic play to intercept the pass, but he's clearly covered. Now, I'm all for let Kenny Golladay go up and give him a chance to get it, and he damn near did. But on first and 10 from the Oakland 20, and this is starting to look like it could be a little bit of a shootout here, and the Lions were up. I believe they were up 14-10 at the time, and they were. This was a missed opportunity in a game of missed opportunities where had they not thrown that pick, you're in the red zone at first and 10. Bad decision.
It was. And there's a lot to unpack.
There's a ton to unpack.
Including all the defensive failures. I don't want this to, you guys are focusing on, we're just starting here with the end of the game. We're starting with the last four plays inside. Now, on that play that I mentioned, Gator, where Marvin Jones was open and Stafford didn't throw to him, Joe Dahl also got hurt. And Joe Dahl came off, and Ode Abouche goes in at left guard. So at that point, they ran the last three plays of the game with their two backup guards in there. And I don't know if it was Abouche's responsibility, but on the fourth down play, one of the reasons why that play was blown up was because, of all people, Tahir Whitehead came charging in and got in Stafford's face. And Stafford did the best with it he could. I don't know what options he had.
Right.
Ode Abouche is in a pulls out from the left guard position to the left, and Tahir Whitehead blows right past him. Now, if he chips Tahir Whitehead there, and again, this is where I struggle with Pro Football Focus. I don't know what the play call called for Abouche to do. It feels like if a guy is crossing in front of your face with a clean shot at your quarterback, you should at least give him a shove.
Well, here's what it looks like the play is designed to do. It looks like it's designed to be a quarterback run. The way that Abouche is sprinting out on that side, and you've got the tight ends on that side that are, you know, occupying other players, it looks like if Stafford can get past Whitehead, mm-hmm. that then they've got an opportunity here for an easy touchdown. But the way Stafford's reacting, as I'm watching the play now, Stafford's reacting like that's not a run play.
Now, is Tahir Whitehead supposed to bite on the play fake? They had good play action all day long. They really did. The play action for them, the fake handoff and rollout, actually works very well for the Lions. And I haven't seen any updated stats, but anybody to tell you that Stafford is spectacular. Like, he's got some of the best stats in the league out of play action. Tahir Whitehead didn't buy in it at all. He blew in almost untouched. Jesse James chipped him, and Abouche could have stopped him.
You're talking about the fourth down play, right? Let's make sure we're doing the right one here.
Yes.
Because I don't see it's not Whitehead that comes in on the quarterback.
Who is it then?
A 96.
Okay. I read that it was Whitehead was the guy that came free. No, I didn't see which way it was.
It's Cleveland Farrell.
Is that who it is?
Comes right in.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know this for a fact or anything. You'd have to ask the coaches to get confirmation. To me, the play action is for Farrell to bite, and that's why Abouche let him go. And then when you roll out and Gator, you think it was for a run, I think it was just pass protection because Stafford's going to need a guy for any late blitzer, safety or otherwise, coming in. That's Abouche's responsibility, and he's supposed to look for Jesse James or Logan Thomas on that play, which
I would
did.
Love to hear. I mean, again, we don't know, and the coaches don't talk about it.
I think Farrell just made a great play. He never bit.
I would love to know if Abouche's supposed to, hey, if this guy comes free, you got to block him.
I think it looks like two guys not on the same page.
No, I think Farrell made a great play.
Well, again, that'd be great to hear from the coaches, and maybe it'll get addressed today.
I'm not too familiar with passing protections that require guards to pull to the outside.
So it's a weird-looking play, isn't
it? It's a weird-looking play. The way Stafford peels back on that, it looks like Stafford absolutely is going to...
It's a rollout.
He's faking to his right and rolling to his left, and he's going to throw to one of the tight ends. Hopefully one of them is open. But to have a pulling guard on that play doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Again, there's a ton to unpack. We're starting with the play calls and the last series inside the 10. They have huge concerns with the defense. Certainly understandable and something we plan on getting to. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Charles on a cell. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Charles.
Yeah, Karsh. Now, I just letting you know about Stafford was making that chop and ran.
Yeah.
He had to do that because three of his linemen was downfield. That's what Spillman and the other TV announcer didn't notice until after the commercial break, and that's when they said that's why Stafford
It was another play. This is when and the first and goal from the 8 yard line, none of the linemen were downfield.
Oh, I thought you was talking about the one on 13 on a 13 yard line.
No, I'm talking about first and goal from the 8. He tucked to run with Marvin Jones wide open in front of him at the goal line. And it would have been a tough but makeable throw. And I just am not used to seeing Stafford tuck the ball so early. All five linemen dropped into a pocket to protect the quarterback. So that's why.
I missed that one.
Yeah, it's okay.
I thought you was talking about the 13-yard line.
No, talking about the.
I was bad on that.
It's all right. No big deal. Just that's a play that I think Stafford can make.
Yeah, he shut it down a little too early on that one. And I think, like I said, he was worried about protecting the ball in a critical situation where he had already fumbled earlier this year. I'm not going to do it because I'm just not in the mood today again. I'm sorry, man. You could do it, though. Go ahead. What kind of situation was it?
It's a critical situation.
All right. Well, and if you notice, I don't want to be critical of Stafford too much because I thought he played a good game overall.
I'm with you.
I'm warming up.
But the thing is, he had some happy feet when he sacked himself and tripped over his own feet also in that drive. And then he tucked earlier. I just think that he got caught up in the moment and just, hey, man, it's a critical moment, as my friend Gator would say.
Thank you.
Let's
you
go.
Also said he sacked himself, tripped over himself, and tucked it.
Come on, man. Come on, let's smile today a little bit.
Season's over, man. Season is over.
Well, I would agree with that. I would agree with that if every other team in the division hadn't lost.
It's really
stop it, Gator. Stop it. Stop it.
Although
I can't.
That adds to the frustration, though, today.
Absolutely.
It totally adds to the frustration.
Biggest missed opportunity is that everybody else lost.
This giant door swings open, and the Lions, all they got to do is step through it. And they're like, nah. You know what? Somebody else loosened the pickle jar for the Lions.
Yeah, on the bright side, they provided the blueprint how to beat the Raiders, guys. So there's that.
Mm. Drew in Roseville, you're next. Hi, Drew.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Drew. Hey, Drew.
Well, you know, I am so frustrated because forget everything else leading up to a fourth down call. Why is, you know, coming into this game, the weakness of the Raiders was their back four. We should have, and we had a big day as far as throwing the ball. So why in heck aren't your best two players, your receivers, on the field for that last play? I mean, you got to give Galladay or Jones a chance to tie that game. I just don't understand the play call. And then when you realize, oh, wait, that's Darrell Bevell, the guy that called a pass on the goal line in the Super Bowl on first down when he just ran the ball all day long to get there.
Yeah. I mean, it's there's a lot of questions about the end of the game. And look, Darrell Bevell's goal line offense has come under scrutiny before. And I don't think anybody has a problem with them passing from the one. All right? They don't have a big, strong power rushing attack where there's a lot of faith. I mean, they cobbled together a rushing attack yesterday.
They actually ran the ball.
I give them credit for that. But from the 1 yard line, when the game's on the line.
Yeah, I'm not expecting Ty Johnson.
I mean, what do I think? I think you put the ball in your best player's hands, which is, you know, you could arguably say it's Matthew Stafford. And on this day, he was pretty good. But then as far as receiving targets, Logan Thomas is pretty far down the list. Now, Hockenson is out.
You got to be honest here. There's nobody in the building, in the league, that would think the Lions were going to run the ball on that play. So the play action is null and void in that play, I think. There was no way that the Raiders felt that the Lions would run the ball right there. No way. Well, if they would have ran it, they probably would have scored.
If you have a play call that has you give play action, you still better believe it's going to work, even if nobody bites on the run. Like, it can't be fully predicated on selling the run.
One of my biggest problems with that play call is that cannot be your best goal line play. When the game is on the line, you literally have one play left. You go to your best play. That cannot be it. There's no do or die. There's no tomorrow. And that's what he rolled out there. Jesse James, and I know Hockenson was hurt, and the second option, or maybe the first option, Logan Thomas in the back of the end zone. I'm sorry, that doesn't cut it. After the Raiders gifted you with a timeout to set it up, that cannot be your best play, and that's what they rolled out there with the game on the line.
All right, time for Champ and Chump, Gator. My champ of the weekend is the pickle jar unscrewers of the L.A. Chargers, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Kansas City Chiefs, who all kicked the door wide open for the Lions by defeating the Packers, the Bears, and the Vikings, respectively. They are my champ of the weekend for doing the Lions that huge solid, of which the Lions then proceeded to not take advantage of. But they are my champ of the weekend because they made that game more intriguing. We all knew what had happened by the time the Lions hit the field. Everybody else in the division had either lost or, in the case of Green Bay, was losing and losing badly to the Chargers as the Lions game went on.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Andre Drummond as my champ. Three straight 20-20 games that he's got, 20 rebounds and 20 points. He's been fantastic through the start of the season. Leads the team in scoring and rebounding, but also steals and blocks, as you would expect. Also turnovers. But he's doing all this without his running partner. To do that without Blake Griffin, I think, is impressive. to do this without Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson, just trying to help keep this team afloat until these guys can come back. And for Reggie, the word is now that he's going to be out for at least another month. Hopefully Blake comes back any day now. But they're, I think, 3-4 to start the year. That's not great. But people already don't think this team much of this team anyway. For this team to be 3-4 and they haven't played with two of their big three players, I think it's impressive. And I give that credit to Andre Drummond.
All right, let's get to our chump nominations. My chump of the weekend, of course, is the Lions for not taking advantage of that door being kicked wide open by L.A., Philly, and the Kansas City Chiefs. It was there for the taking. It was a very winnable game, and we've only touched on a couple of the plays that were crucial, catastrophic mistakes that cost them this game. Lions, my chump of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to chump Daryl Bevell on that. That can't be the fourth down play that you call. It can't be the fourth down play you call after there's been a timeout. That cannot be the play. That cannot be the personnel. When you take off the two best offensive weapons you have in your team outside of your quarterback, but your two best receivers, you take them off the field, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, Marvin Jones has, I don't know how many touchdowns he's got this year already in tight quarters like that. That's a great opportunity for him. Kenny Galladay's a size mismatch. I don't get it. And if you're going to call two plays at the end of the game to have this team ready with the lack of timeouts and you don't have the personnel ready to account for those two plays, that doesn't make sense either. So Daryl Bevell gets my chump of the week for what happened on fourth down.
248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136 from Joe and Howe. The play call from the one deserves criticism, but Bevell, Stafford, and this offense have been borderline fantastic this season. The issue is the defense. They can't stop anybody. I'm not really going to argue with that. Like we said, play calling comes under more scrutiny. But defensively, it's been really bad. Like, this offense is playing well enough to win a lot more than Matt Patricia's defense is playing. Like, that Matt Patricia's defense is playing terribly. It in the beginning of the year, felt like, yeah, they were giving up yards, but they were good in the red zone. They were keeping teams out of the end zone. Quarterback ratings were impacted by that. But the reality is, teams are now just scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, there's definitely a problem with the defense. But in the game like yesterday, and you got to have it, and you have the advantage at quarterback, you have the advantage with your wide receivers over the other team's offense. The only advantage that the Raiders had offensively was they have a running back, and they played that very well. But Derek Carr ended up getting the job done in a very critical moment for the Raiders, and Stafford didn't. And that sucks. That really sucks. So I can't. This is a day that I can't sit here and just blame the defense. I look at the offense, and there were too many mistakes on offense, both by the coaching staff and by the quarterback, that just have me really upset.
It's not Bevell. We have a defensive coach and the worst defense in the league. That's from an unnamed texter.
That's cannot be underscored.
Champ Stafford throwing for 400 plus yards with three touchdowns. Chump, pathetic ass offensive line and awful defense. Tired of all the Stafford haters. Guy goes out game after game and plays his butt off. O-line and defense are an absolute joke. That's from Curtis in Oxford.
O-line was not a joke yesterday. O-line played well. I thought they protected the quarterback. They actually had some kind of a running game. I don't, how many they had, what, five running plays that went for 9 yards or more maybe? They got
cobbled
some,
together a rushing attack. I was actually pleased.
Yeah.
Champ Matthew Stafford, chump. Anyone that thinks of taking a tight end with the eighth pick instead of an edge rusher. That's from Allen, New Boston. Fat Mark and Troy, champ Stafford, another very good wasted performance. Chump, fatty Matty Patty, it's time for him to go. I'm tired of Bluto. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.